My dear friends in Christ, today on the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, we have a wonderful cure recorded in the Gospel of a man who was both deaf and dumb. And you think about the poor state of this man. What a pitiable state to be unable to hear what other people are saying and unable to speak, unable to express himself. Again, a very sad situation. And our Lord cured him in a unique way, by putting his fingers into the man's ears, touching his tongue with spittle, groaning, saying the words "Ephphatha," which means "be thou opened," which interestingly are a word that we use in the baptismal rite, using that word "Ephphatha." But we can apply this cure, this gospel, to spiritual deafness and dumbness. Spiritual deafness I would apply to those who hear the Word of God but don't apply it. Because there's a difference between hearing and listening. It reminds me of a story of a man who had a disagreement with another worker, and they both went to the boss to get this sorted out, and the boss finally said, siding with the man who told me the story, he turned to the other man and said, "You hear, but you don't listen." And then he went on and told him what he had told him before. So we hear the Word of God all the time. We hear it when the Epistle and Gospel are read at Mass, or we read it ourselves. But the question is, do we apply it? Do we live it? And so that's listening. Not just hearing the Word of God, listening and figuring out, how can I improve? How can I take this to heart and improve my life? And that's hearing. Now let's look at speaking. How should we use this wonderful gift that God has given to us, the gift of speech? We should use it first and foremost to praise Almighty God, to pray. When we pray, we say our rosary, our other prayers, we are using the gift of speech to glorify and praise Almighty God. We also use it to communicate with our fellow men, and how difficult it would be not to be able to communicate with speech. But we have to be very careful not to misuse the wonderful power of speech, as some do through the sins against the Eighth Commandment. First of all, lying is a sin against the Eighth Commandment, a misuse of the power of speech. Also, gossip, detraction, calumny, backbiting, talebearing. Using that gift of speech maybe to destroy the reputation of other persons or to spread falsehood or whatever it may be. Let us treasure these wonderful gifts that God has given to us, the gift of hearing, the gift of speech, all of the senses, sight and touch and smell and so forth, but use them in the proper way and use them for God's honor and glory. In today's epistle, St. Paul is speaking to these early Christians, telling them to accept the faith that he has come to preach because he knows what he's talking about. He speaks about our Lord having risen from the dead and how our Lord appeared to different ones. And then he says, and last of all, he was seen by me, which has led many to believe that St. Paul enjoyed a vision of our Lord after his conversion. Now we remember the story of his conversion related in the Acts of the Apostles, how St. Paul, at that time he was called Saul, was a persecutor of the Christians because he was raised as a Pharisee and did not believe in Christianity. So here St. Paul, Saul, was on his way on his horse with a few companions to Damascus in Syria. And he was on his way there to arrest the Christians in that city. And he had permission, he had letters of recommendation from the head Pharisees and priests in Jerusalem. And he was struck off his horse. And our Lord spoke to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And our Lord answered, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And that is a very interesting statement, because our Lord is conveying the fact that by Saul persecuting the members of the mystical body of Christ, he was in fact persecuting Christ himself. Likewise, how we treat our neighbor, how we treat the other members of the mystical body of Christ, is done to Christ himself. And so Saul was converted and said, what will you have me to do? He went into the city. He fasted for 3 days, had nothing to eat for 3 days. And then finally, on the third day, our Lord spoke to an elderly Christian, one of the respected leaders of the Christian community in that city of Damascus, and told him to go to a certain house, and he would find a man named Saul. And he said, you will find him because he is praying. And this man, I think Ananias was his name, was a little afraid to go because he heard about this Saul who was persecuting Christians. And our Lord told him, no, go ahead and go. He is praying. And he went there. He baptized him. And as soon as he was baptized, something like scales fell from his eyes, and St. Paul was now able to see. But I like the way he concludes this epistle. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Reminding us that we likewise, like St. Paul, can do no good without grace. It is only the grace of God. We have to be very careful never to give in to pride, to take credit to ourselves as though the good that we do is because of us. Last Sunday's gospel was about the Pharisee and the publican and had a very important lesson of humility. So we look at St. Paul's words today, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And then he goes on to add, and his grace in me has not been void, has not been fruitless, has not been wasted. I hope that we all can say that. It is by the grace of God that I am what I am, and his grace in me has been productive. It has not been void or fruitless or wasted. It has been used, cooperated with, and thus it has been productive. So these are the lessons from today's epistle and Holy Gospel. How grateful we ought to be for the gifts, the natural, temporal gifts that we have, the senses, the ability to see and to hear and to speak. You know the old saying, you don't value what you have until you lose it, till it's taken away, and then you realize what a blessing you had. So we value and we give thanks to God for the gift of speech, the various senses that we have, the various abilities that God has given to us. But above all, we give thanks to God for his grace, because it is by the grace of God that we are what we are and who we are. And let us especially pray that God's grace in us will not be without fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.